Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Gimel. After David ran away from Nayos, Yonasan catches up with him. He says to Yonasan, "What have I done? What's been my sin? Why does your father want to kill me?" And Yonasan says, "No, he doesn't want to kill you. He tells me everything that's going on, so why would he hide anything from me?" So, Pasuk Gimel, these are all pretty hard psukim, and to get precise translations of every word, it's not easy. So we're going to give you pretty much a running commentary throughout these psukim to get the main ideas, and we should, God willing, cover a lot of ground over here. I don't recall if we did the Radak on Psukim Beis and Gimel. So if we did them, it's a review. If not, it'll be new. The Radak asks, how could Yonasan be so sure that Shaul didn't hate David? How could he say that? How could he say he doesn't reveal things to me? He himself is seeing how he's trying to kill him. So how could he say, what do you mean? He tells me everything that's on his mind. I know what's really in his heart. And he doesn't want to kill you. So how can he say that? So the Radak says that, well, once his father made an oath by Hashem's name, he's not going to violate his oath. Already made an oath in the last parak with David. So I'm not gonna ever hurt you. He tried to kill him by throwing the spear at him after the oath, and he sent messengers to bring him to kill him, and that he went after him in Nayos to kill him. He says, so Yonasan thought that was because that ruach ra, that was because that bad spirit that was scaring him into that, to want to kill him while he had the ruach ra. It was because he had the bad spirit, that's why he wanted to kill him. But that bad spirit only came at times. And therefore, we never found him really wanting to kill him after he made the oath, except when he had the Ruach Ra. Every time it says he had the Ruach Ra, he had the bad spirit, then he wanted to kill him. Therefore, Yonasan could promise him that he could help protect him during those times of Ruach Ra. But you see, and he's saying, even though, like, even when David's playing, it can't calm him down all the time, but still, you could be careful not to be in those types of situations. So that's what he thought. However, Radak says the truth was that in Shaul's heart, he wanted to kill him, even when it wasn't during the Ruach Ra. However, he never led on and showed that way because of the oath that he made to Yonasan. Or he didn't want to make Yonasan unhappy, as David will tell him in a minute. And it was told to David through Shaul's servants, who liked David, that he was really wanting to kill him. So because Shaul would reveal to his servants his truest feelings, even that which he was not revealing to Yonasan. And therefore, you'll see David gives a very strong response to Yonasan now, which is a very strong response, and that's what we're going to start in Pasuk Gimel. Vayishava od David. And David makes another oath. So now you got to figure where was the first oath. So that's a little bit interesting. You don't find it. Maybe way back an oath of friendship, but this Vayishava Od, commentators do not pick up on this at all. And you'll see what is exactly the oath is also not easy to understand. You'll see. Vayomer, and he says, Yodoa Yeda Avicha ki matzasi chen benecha. Your father knows that I have found favor in your eyes. So of course he's not going to tell you his really real feelings. Vayomer, and he says to himself, Al yeda zos Yonasan, this should not be known to Yonasan, my truest intentions, pen yed save, lest he will be saddened. Now here comes the oath, Fu'ulam, but chai Hashem, by Hashem's life, v'chei nafshecha, and by the life of your soul, ki kefesa beini uvein amoves. It was only a fesa between me and between death. Meaning to say, when he threw that spear at me, you know, that was a sign that he really wanted to kill me. And it was like I was it's not pronounced pesha, but pesa. And pesa from the word psia, step. I was a step away from death. That's the biggest proof I need. I was a step away from death. And had I not run out of that place, I would have been dead. So, Yonasan, as much as you think that he really likes me, he wants to kill me, and he's all fooling you from this. And what's the oath exactly? I swear that he does want to kill me. Okay, I don't understand why you need an oath for that. I have no idea, and I don't know anything.
Invoke Hashem's name.
Like, yeah, but why does he have to invoke Hashem's name? He's so clear. He's so clear. I mean, what are you missing around Hashem in this? I really don't understand, and I don't know anybody of the regular commentaries who, I mean, as it is, it's like a bit of a break in between the oath. The beginning is Vayishava O David, and then the real oath comes at the end of the pasuk, Chai Hashem, Chai Nafshecha. But I don't really understand why he had to make an oath. Anyway, pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Yonasan O David, Yonasan said to David, Matomer Nafshecha Veselach, what do you want? Tell me what your soul says, and I'll do it. What is it I can do? Pasukei vayomer David al Yonasan, hine chodesh mochor. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Vanochi yoshov eshev im hamelech lecho. And tomorrow, it's the customary time for me to be sitting at a meal next to the king. We'll see later on. It appears from the text that David was the one who was sitting right next to Shaul at the head of the table. And that's the usual procedure. It's interesting, after all what's been going on, you know. Yeah. You know, David's back by the palace, you see. He's back by the palace. Again, we're hoping, maybe, that, you know, things will improve from this prophecy that Shaul had, and that it is Rosh Chodesh. But anyway, he ain't going to be foolish enough to stay in the palace. Vishilachtani, I want you to send me away. Give me permission to not be at that monthly gathering. Vinistarti basadeh ad ha'er vashishis. And I will hide in the field until the third day. In other words, today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh. And then there'll be another day after Rosh Chodesh, and then the day after that, and we'll see why.
He's asking Jonathan?
He's saying to Yonasan, we're not finished yet with his request yet, but he's saying, I usually am there on Rosh Chodesh. That's what usually, Anochi Yoshov Eshev. In other words, I usually am there, and, you know, frankly, I would like to, but I'm not going to, and if I don't, I'm going to get in big trouble. If you don't show up to these meals, that's like showing a sign of disrespect to the king, which is punishable by death. So therefore he's saying, I want you to give me permission that I don't have to go, and we'll see why, what the excuse is going to be. And I'll hide in the field until the end of the third day, because, you know, he may not, you know, we'll have to see what Shaul's reaction is going to be by me not being there. You know, and he may not say anything the first day. You know, one day is not the end of the world. But if I'm not there the second day, that's going to push the envelope. And it's going to make it, you know, some kind of reaction is going to come out. So let's see what this reaction is. The reaction he's looking for. In other words, you're trying to make a true test. There seems to be a dispute between David and Yonasan as to, you know, how sick or angry David is. And what his true Shaul is. So what his true intentions are. So this way we'll be able to determine what his true intentions are. And this is the following, Pasuk Vav. Im pakod yifkateni avicha. If your father is going to make an account of me and see that I'm not there, and he's going to ask people, he's going to ask, you know, what's going on. So, Vamarta, and he's going to say, where is David? If he's going to bring up the topic. He's going to say, where is David? Vamarti, and I'll, and you will, Vamarta, and you will say, Nishol Nishal Mimeni David, Larutz Beis Lechemiro. David asked from me to run to Beis Lechem, his city, his hometown, Ki Zevach HaYomim Sham, because it's a yearly offering that they give, a family, for a family, it's a family simcha. And he asked me for a special permission to not be here. This way, you know, David won't be considered a rebel, because he asked Yonasan, he's the king's son. So that's like asking the king, as it were. Ramalbin says the double expression. He asked through relatives, and he didn't ask the king, because he was in a big hurry, he had a rush, it was late. And this is a yearly offering, and it's for the whole family, and therefore he wanted to go. So that's a reasonable excuse. That's what you'll tell him. Now, the trick is, the point is, let's see what the reaction is. So, this is very interesting. There's four possible reactions. Only two will give us a definite understanding, and two will still leave things in the doubt. This is the way the Malbim explains. Im ko yomar, if he says like this, tov, that's good. That's good. That's fine. It's no problem. Then we'll know, this is the way the Malbim learns it, shalom lavdecha. It'll be peace upon your servant. That means he really doesn't hate me. Im charo yecherelo, but if he gets angry, da, we now know, kichol saramimo, the anger is finished for me. In other words, he wants to kill me. Now, the Malbim, as we'll just elaborate a little bit, he says, you see, there's two conditions. If he says tov, if he says good, or if he gets angry. Now, there are another two possibilities in terms of response or lack of response. Then another one is, he may not ask anything. It's possible he may not ask anything. And he may ask, another possibility he may ask, and he doesn't say good, and he doesn't get angry. So there's another two possibilities, there's four possibilities here. So therefore, he's only picking the two sides that we can understand clearly if it's good or bad. First of all, he's got to ask. Right? So, there's got to be some interest there. Or, you know, maybe he wants to kill him. So if he says good, then fine. And if he says bad, then it's also we understand what's going on. But if he really doesn't like him and he really doesn't want to kill him, he may not ask. He may not be upset. So it's not a 100% foolproof test. There will be situations in which we will not be able to know what the exact truth is. But that'll be the way that we will know. Okay, anyway, before we move on, there is something from Tzadok that's quite interesting that has to do with this concept of Rosh Chodesh. Now, it's interesting, generally speaking, you don't find the topic of Rosh Chodesh, besides the fact that it is in the Moadim, that it's in the holidays. We mentioned briefly Rosh Chodesh, and we lay it on Rosh Chodesh, those few psukim deal with Rosh Chodesh. There doesn't seem to ever be a story in the Torah dealing with Rosh Chodesh, except for this one. It's the only place in the Tanakh where there is an event centered around Rosh Chodesh. You won't find it anywhere else. You'll find a slight reference, I believe it's with Elisha, where the Shunamis tells the husband she's going to go to the prophet, and he's saying, what's going on? This isn't Shabbos, this isn't Rosh Chodesh, this isn't a holiday, but if I'm not mistaken. But there's no direct story that revolves around Rosh Chodesh. So this is something to reckon with. So Reb Tzadok in his Sefer Resisei Loila in Sifches, he talks about this. So at least we'll hear what the message of Rosh Chodesh over here. He says a fascinating idea about Rosh Chodesh. He says generally when we celebrate, and you know, Rosh Chodesh has had a very unusual history. And it has an unusual present. Rosh Chodesh, you know, you don't say the full Hallel. Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be a holiday, isn't a holiday. It's a woman's holiday. Like, what's going on over? You know, originally, the Mefarshim tell us, they're supposed to be, just like we have three major holidays for the three patriarchs, there's supposed to be 12 more holidays for the 12 tribes, for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh was meant to be a genuine holiday. If it's in the Moadim, it's supposed to be a holiday, and in many ways a very, very strong holiday, not just a minor holiday. But because of the sin of the golden calf, Jewish people lost it. And now it's gone. The luster of it is gone. And only women celebrate to some extent in a minor way. So what's the point? So he says that you have, what happens with holidays? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Those are holidays that really occur because of an event that happened, which is significant and indicative of the spiritual energy that exists at that time. So Pesach is a holiday that we celebrate, that we really connect to, because the 15th of Nisan is a day that Hashem sends energies of freedom into the world. And the biggest proof that He sends freedom into the world is the Jews became free on Pesach, which is the biggest significant single act of people becoming free. And now everyone can relate to that holiday, that every Pesach we know we can access energies of freedom that come on this holiday. The same for Shavuos, you get the Torah again. Same for Sukkos. That's what normal holidays are. We can all celebrate those holidays, regardless of how non-spiritual we may or may not be. Now, what he said, I'll read just a few lines over here. He says, "Ki yesh roshem l'mafreho." There's something, and really, these holidays make a roshem, make a mark on us, make an impact on us. But he says there's something called a roshem l'mafreho, a retroactive roshem, a retroactive mark, an impact. In other words, there's something about Rosh Chodesh. What he's basically going to say is that the real miraculous nature, the outstanding nature of Rosh Chodesh has never yet been revealed. It is only going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. That's when we're going to finally know what Rosh Chodesh is all about. The intense power of Rosh Chodesh, even though you kind of have an idea what it is when you daven the Musaf, because it's called Yom Kippur. It's L'chol Toldosam. It's a day of atonement for all the sins. It's a great day of atonement, but it just has, we haven't really seen it. But that's what it really can bring out. That will only really be understood when Mashiach comes. Because when that comes, then the whole world's going to do tshuva. That's going to be another fantastic moment in Jewish history. When all the Jews want Mashiach. When everyone's doing tshuva, the whole world is filled with intellect. That's going to be the unbelievable tshuva is going to happen. But it hasn't happened yet. So this is called a roshem l'mafreya. A mark, an impact, retroactively. But he's saying, but that roshem is not mitzad hiskalus, that it's been revealed already. Sher benigla, because then if something's revealed, then you have free will choice if you want to have it or not. But and then something can make an impact on you. Making an impact, has to happen. He says, "Vein shach roishim koyde maisa." You can't make something called an impact before the action happens. Person may not want it, whatever. That's not. But he says, "But zeh inyan kedush Rosh Chodesh." This is the concept of the holiness of Rosh Chodesh. So nisker b'tor klal. It's not mentioned at all. There's been no revelation of the Shechina on Rosh Chodesh in the past. Rak la asid. Only the future, when it says, the Navi says, there'll be a time when from Rosh Chodesh to Rosh Chodesh and from Shabbos to Shabbos, we'll be able to understand it. He says, Shiyia goli hanochach gam b'Rosh Chodesh. Then it's going to be really revealed. Everyone will see what Rosh Chodesh is. Because we're told that there will be a Shir Chadash, there will be a new song. We say this in the Haggadah, at the end of the Haggadah. We say there's going to be a new song. And every moment there's going to be a Shir Chadash. There's going to be a new song. Because that's what's going to happen when we come to this newer level of understanding of Hashem. Because right now we're kind of limited in understanding. But he says there'll be added understandings of Hashem at all time. That's why the Chodesh, renewed understanding. When our minds are so expanded, we can get closer and closer and closer to Hashem to no end. In this world, there's limitations as to what, you know, how far we can go in understanding Hashem. But when we come to the next world, there'll be no limitations. And that's what he also says, is the idea of Shiro. The only can sing is when you recognize certain realities that you didn't recognize before. We had that, you know, on occasion, on rare occasions, you get a spurt of the Shira Sayam, Shira Stvora. It's just a spurt. But the real future, where it's going to be constant state of Shira, because it's going to be a constant renewal of the human being's understanding of Hashem's greatness, that's for later on. And that's what's going to be called a Shir Chadash. Shir Chadash, meaning not just a new song, as Shir Chadash, but Shir Chadash means an eternally developing new song. A never-ending song that is always new. That is the kind of song that when Mashiach comes. Now, he says, it says Zeh in Rosh Chodesh. That's the idea of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh means there'll be a time that there always will be a Shir Chadash. The song will just constantly renew itself. The understandings of Hashem will deepen every moment of our existence.
We see that for Shabbos too.
What?
We see that for Shabbos too.
Where do we see this?
Well, don't we say that for Shabbos too?
Shabbos are renewal.
Yeah. Okay. So Shabbos, you've seen a bit already. Shabbos is already in the past. We've already seen what Shabbos is. Hashem made the first Shabbos. But you know, to that extent, we don't fully appreciate the Shabbos either. But Shabbos, we've seen it. You know, the man did not come down on Shabbos. I mean, we've seen things about Shabbos. We've seen some, not fully, but a lot. So therefore, so he's saying, and that's why the Zohar mentions as well. This is a remez, the Rosh Chodesh, a remez to Jewish people. That's why we make Kiddush Levana. We said that Jewish people, that they also will become new, like the moon. And this is where we start mentioning David HaMelech. We mentioned David HaMelech as well over here. He's connected in the prayers of Kiddush Levana. We have David Melech, Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. And therefore he says, L'chei nizker inyan Kiddush HaChodesh because of Rak binyan David HaMelech im Shol. We only find the only mention of Rosh Chodesh regarding David HaMelech and Shol. Why? And therefore, and we also know parenthetically the law of making a suit on Rosh Chodesh. Even though we don't derive laws from the Navi, but if the Navi tells us what they were doing, you know, as testimony as to what happened, that we would derive. So you see, there was a special occasion, like a special meal. And why? Does Nischadish Hiskalas Orzeb Eis Hascholas Binyan HaMalchus Yisrael Bechal Umalchus B'Dov Yifrat? Because the revelation was in David's time is beginning to become revealed. It's the beginning of the kingdom of Israel in general, and specifically the kingdom of David specifically. He says, "Shizel Hascholas Hiskalas Rishimas Ordelosi." It's the beginning of the steps that are bringing that mark for the future. Okay, so and that's where you see some talk about this. That David is he's also the one who sings. He's the sweet singer of Israel. He's the one who made Tehillim. It's just the beginning to appreciate this whole idea. And of course, tshuva is a big aspect of Rosh Chodesh. And David HaMelech is a big tzaddik who taught us all about tshuva, the tshuva that he does. So he fits into this a lot. And therefore, it says in the Medrash, he says, now, niten by lamazel l'nashim, the Rosh Chodesh has been given to women, b'scharso also egel, for the merit that they did not sin in the golden calf. He says, ki lule oise maise, had it not been for the sin of the golden calf, ha'kfar cheirus mimalchius mi'etzohara, k'molasi, there would be freedom from governments, freedom from the Yetzohara, as will be in the future. And we would have merited that futuristic holiness then, when we came out of Mitzrayim shortly after getting the Torah. So since the women had nothing to do with that activity, Masigim Rishima Zo Yoser, they are able to comprehend this Roshem, this mark, this futuristic mark, better. In other words, the ability to celebrate Rosh Chodesh is dependent on one's ability to appreciate the sanctity of of this period of time, even though there hasn't been any tangible manifestation of it in a way that everybody could feel it already. And that's what makes Rosh Chodesh the Roshim L'Mafreo, the retroactive. In other words, it's in there. It's in Rosh Chodesh. Hashem made Rosh Chodesh that way. However, it never manifested itself yet. That's only something that's going to be in the future. And therefore, it's easier to appreciate a day in the calendar that's special if there's already been an event. It makes it easier if I say, just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, you know, we can always say everyone's in their own personal Mitzrayim and you can get out of your own Mitzrayim. Just like Hashem gave us the Torah, He's going to give us the Torah every year anew. And had Hashem not given us the Torah, had He not made Pesach, all those energies would still be there. That mark is still there. The impression is still there. But it's hard to have an impression, make an impression on you if you don't have any evidence to it, and you have nothing to wrap your head around it. So okay, I understand. Jews got freedom. I got it. Jews got Torah. I got it. So you're telling me I'm supposed to have it too? Okay, I have to stretch myself. But if it happened once, you're telling me it's happening again. Okay, I can deal with that. But if you're being told there's something very special about Rosh Chodesh, and it has something to do with tshuva. But we haven't really seen anything on Rosh Chodesh about tshuva. So it's very hard for that impression for us to be impressed by that impression. So that's interesting, men and women. Men are more, you know, focused more on what you see, what's out there. And women can focus more on what's not out there, what's beneath the surface. This Rosh Chodesh is the holiday of beneath the surface. It's beneath the surface. So therefore, since women didn't sin with the golden calf, so they obviously are spiritually more attuned to what the spiritual benefits would have been had there not been the golden calf, which would have come from Rosh Chodesh. That's what could have happened. So therefore, women still retain that ability to see beyond, and that's what Rosh Chodesh is. And they're able to enjoy it more, while men still are struggling with it. He says, Ubavare came b'chol dor v'dor. And soon this is every generation. I mean, Skarv Likva Mashiach. It's getting closer and closer to the Mashiach. Niskal Kedushas Rosh Chodesh Yoyser. So the holiness of Rosh Chodesh is being revealed a little bit more and more and more. It's getting a little bit more to appeal to people. Just like you find by Shabbos. As you get closer to Shabbos, you begin to feel the Shabbos more as well. Right now, you're not feeling the Shabbos. It's harder to feel the Shabbos. But wait till Wednesday, begin to feel it more. Thursday, Friday, your mom is feeling it. So that's the same thing he's saying over here. And therefore, the whole idea with David HaMelech is bringing us, you know, to this feeling of what Rosh Chodesh is, because that's really what David HaMelech is bringing us. We have to have the Malchus based David in place. That's a critical link towards Mashiach. Without Malchus Beis David, you don't have Mashiach. Without Mashiach, you're really not going to appreciate Rosh Chodesh. So since David HaMelech is a positive connection to that link, therefore, even though he does not yet have evidence of Rosh Chodesh, but he knows there's got to be something special about Rosh Chodesh, he senses it, and therefore the Torah records that he, and Shaul to a certain extent too, because he started the Malchus, although it's not the permanent Malchus, but they understood that this is something that you have to celebrate. And it's kind of, you know, David shows his great bitachon and emunah Hashem, to have faith in something that's not yet there. So this is the uniqueness of Rosh Chodesh. It's the futuristic holiday that we celebrate before the holiday comes. And it takes someone to be on a much higher level to celebrate something that has not yet ever been evidenced. And that idea, the whole idea of being able to have renewed Shira of rejoicing with ever more knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, which really you can access that every Rosh Chodesh, but only special people can. And David HaMelech was that kind of special person. So that's a little bit of insight into Rosh Chodesh.
So Shaul, because Shaul is the one who had the Rosh Chodesh.
A little bit, but really David HaMelech is... It starts with Shaul HaMelech, but David HaMelech really is going to be the symbol of it, because we always mention Kiddush Levana, David Melech Shaul Chai VeKayam. He has this eternal, it never ends. And again, his ability to sing Shira, all these things are all people who have come to a deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you come to a deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an overall understanding of Teshuvah, of coming back to Hashem, even not necessarily because you've sinned, but getting closer to Hashem. And this is what David's all about. David is able to do more. Shaul is from Yosef, is Binyamin. He's the tzaddik. The tzaddik stays the tzaddik. Doesn't become a bigger tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. Finished. David is, David takes one step forward, because he wants to get more excited with Hashem. And then he can take two steps backwards and make mistakes, because he's always looking for more. And if you're looking for renewal, there can be mistakes in renewal. You're not an angel. So Eddie makes mistakes. David takes the high road and let's move ahead in our Avodas Hashem. And when you're like that, when you're constantly coming closer always has failures. And you take a step forward, you take two steps backward. The mistake with Bathsheba, different mistakes that weren't stam mistakes. These are mistakes that Shaul would never make, because Shaul never really had that in him to be more. Right? Shaul was challenged to be more here. He refused to be more. He wanted to be exactly the way he was. And therefore he failed and couldn't be the king anymore. David always had that feeling he wants to be more. He wants to be more. He wants to get closer to Hashem. So, and that's the person who can recognize what Rosh Chodesh is all about, and it's more associated with him. So anyway, so he wants to know what his future is with Shaul, so the best time to see this Rosh Chodesh, and again, for reasons we said in the last class, which are also very appropriate as well. Okay. So this is what he said to him. Now David speaks fairly strongly now. He's not done. He said this will be the symbol. Pasuk Ches. V'yasiso chesed al avdecha. And you will do a kindness to your servant. In other words, Jonas, I'm asking you to do me a kindness. Because we've already brought your servant into a covenant. In other words, I want you to tell me what the results is going to be. And it could be very well that Shaul's upset with me. And if there's any sin amongst me, better you should kill me. Why do I have to be brought to your father? In other words, he's saying, listen, we have a covenant. We're loyal to each other. And I'm expecting you to respond and tell me exactly what he's saying. Because if your father wants to kill me and you're not going to tell me, that's not going to be good. So in other words, he's kind of saying, if your father wants to kill me and you're not going to tell me anything, then you might as well kill me yourself. So it's almost as if David is saying, he's hinting that you may not tell me. He's a little bit choshed, Yonasan. Could be maybe because Yonasan, I would say, Yonasan may misinterpret whatever Shaul's, because remember, Yonasan loves his father, and his father is a tzaddik. You have to remember, his father was a huge tzaddik. Okay, now he's got this unusual problem challenge. And Yonasan, I don't think could believe that his father could hate. Remember, he loves David. He sees all the virtues in David, and a lot of people see the virtues in David. He can't believe his father so obtuse not to see the virtues in David. And as we've said, Shaul did have a certain love for Yonasan. So Yonasan is finding it very hard to accept that his father hates David so much. It's like denial to a certain extent. And David, which is more savvy, as it were, is saying, and I know you could be in denial, and you may not tell me. Even when your father says something bad, you may kind of judge it favorably. You've been judging it. You may not tell me. I just want you to know, if you're not going to tell me, you might as well kill me. And that would really be breaking our oath. We have an oath of friendship, and you gotta care about me as much as I would care about myself. So, it's a suspicion, so to speak, not because he got through the sense of Russia. But sometimes people just don't want to accept the bad news and interpret things the wrong way. And that's why David so Pasuk Tes, but Yomer Yonasan, Chalilah, God forbid. Kim Yadoe Daki Kol Sarami Mavi, if I'm going to know clearly that the anger to my father is fully there, Lavalach, to come to you. And I wouldn't tell you if I knew all this information. Why are you suspecting me like this? Pasuk Yud. So David says, "Vayomer David Yonasan miyagidli o mayancha avicha kashat." So who's going to tell me if you're going to get a bad report from your father? How am I going to hear this message? Remember, they're somewhere far out in the fields right now, right? And so, like, how am I going to find out what's going on over here? So Yonasan says, Yud Aleph, Vayomer Yonasan ol David lechaven etzeh hasara. Now he says, now let's go to the fields. So there must have been somewhere near the king's palace. He says, now let's go to the fields. And the Malma says, so nobody should overhear what they're going to do. Because everybody can hear what's going on. Right? Vayetzer Shneim, so they both go to the field. Yud Beis. Vayomi Yonasan el David. Yonasan now is able to speak freely to David. Hashem Elokei Yisrael. By Hashem, the God of Israel. Ki ech koras avi ka'es mochor hashlishis. David, if I will check out my father, inspect my father, like at this time, tomorrow, or even the next day, Mochor Shlishis. In other words, he's saying 3 days from today, Malbim says. Because on the first day, I'm not going to check. I'm going to wait and see what my father says. I'm not going to ask anything until it's like 3 days from now. So today is Erev, so that's day one. Tomorrow is the first day. Day afterwards, the next day. So by then, if my father says, I will find out. I will do everything I need to find what's going on over here. Vihine tovel David. If it's good for David, if he's happy with you, flos eshlach elecha. I won't have to send any messengers to you. I can reveal it to you personally. I will come out into the field, and you'll know what's going on, and you'll find out. And if it's, God forbid, bad news, in other words, if it's good news, I got nothing to worry about. And more than that, I'm sorry, the Malbim explains, if it's good news, I can even send a shliach, I can send a messenger, because there's nothing to worry about. If I hear good news, I'll send a messenger and say, listen, you can come to the palace, everything's fine. But then he's saying, he's using a wording of oath. It's a very long, long, drawn-out way of saying this all. Kol yasa Hashem liyonasan v'chol Yosef. And he's saying, so Hashem should do to me. In other words, he's swearing on the other side that, I will try to, bring out from my father if there's any bad intentions over here. And I'll see if I'm saying bad things about him, and he's happy with this. Ki yeti velavi, and my father. In other words, I will say bad things about you to bring it out, if may be. And if I see that my father is happy with these bad things, that means he has planning to do bad things with you. And then I will not send a messenger, because that will be very dangerous. But I will reveal to you personally. And I will send you away to leave, and you will go in peace. And Hashem should be with you, like Hashem is with my father. In other words, just like Hashem was with my father to make him the king, I will send you away that you should be also safe and one day to be the king. So that's... And now he's making a covenant on the other side that if, Hashem will be with you, if Hashem will be with you, and if I'm still alive, then, you should be, do kindness with me when you're going to be the king. If I'm alive, you should do a kindness with me that I should not die, and you should, take care of me the way it should be. And you should never cut off your kindness with my family forever. And not when Hashem destroys all the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Meaning to say, it's a covenant forever. If I'm alive, you should take care of me. And if I'm not alive, you should take care of my children. Whatever. You should always, it's a covenant at all times. So Tazayin vayichros Yonasan and Beis David ubikesh Hashem miyad oyve David, and Yonasan made a covenant with the house of David from all the enemies of David. In other words, and it's also a difficult pasuk, because what is the word Bikesh Hashem doing in the middle of this pasuk? And that's kind of like brackets, parentheses. In other words, he's invoking Hashem. At the time of the covenant, he's asking Hashem, he's asking from Hashem that he should help him with this. And just like, you know, David has to do his part, so Yonasan will show his loyalty as well. He says and he should take care of all those people, my wife, my children, etc., and save them from all the enemies of David as well. Because that's the covenant he wants from all the enemies. And that's the covenant that they make. Yud Zayin, Yosef Yonasan Lashpias David Rabbaso, so, and he further, continued with this oath, to make an oath of love with him, Kiavas Nashavo, because a great love he made with him. Now you'll see later on in Navi, way later on, you know, these words of Bikesh Hashem, there's another hint of this, and Hashem will demand David's compliance with this, and we'll see later on, David does slip up with Mephibosheth, who's a descendant of Yonasan, and he doesn't treat him as well, and that's a big problem for David, which we don't have time to get into now. But later on down the line, David is makabel, accepts certain lashon hara of a descendant of Yonasan, and therefore mistreats that descendant. And the Navi and the Chazal say, because of that, David's kingdom got split 2 generations later. So you see, this was an oath that he had to take very seriously. And well, you know, it's not for now. It's Shmuel Beis, but this is an oath that does come back later on to haunt David. Okay, so now Yonasan says, okay, now we got to get to the brass tacks. Yudches, Vayomer LeYonasan. So Yonasan says, and this is where we begin the famous Haftarah. The famous Haftarah every Erev Rosh Chodesh. If Shabbos comes on Erev Rosh Chodesh, we say the Haftarah is called Mocher Chodesh, because that's where it starts. Vayomer LeYonasan, Mocher Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Nivkarati ki poked Moshevecha. And, you know, it'll probably be determined, you know, the king's going to notice that if you're not there, he's not going to see you there. So therefore, you've got to take steps to protect yourself, that nothing's going to happen to you over here. So what do we do? Pasuk Yud Tes. There's a lot of interpretations of what's going on over here. Vishilashta Tered Ma'od. Basal Amakom Asher Nistar Tasham V'yom HaMaaseh. V'yashavta Eitzel Ha'Even Ha'Ozel. So Vishilashta, something to do with 3. So some say, you know, it means just to wait 3 days. Let's go through the different Mephorshim over here. There's a number of Mephorshim over here. Because it will be a 3-day process from Erev Rosh Chodesh till the end of all this time. It will be a 3-day process. So one says, just hide yourself for 3 days. And that's what the words mean. Vishilashta and Tered. Here they use Tered like to descend, meaning to hide yourself. You know, hide yourself very much in these 3 days. The Metzudas. It just explains more that you have to hide as much as you're hiding into the place of biyom ha'maaseh, the day of action. Also, the question: what does biyom ha'maaseh mean? The action of the oath that they made. You should hide in a deep place where you've hidden before, in a deep place. And the Malbim says every day you should hide deeper. Divide this into 3 parts. And every day, hide more and more, because as more time passes, you're in greater danger. And therefore, hide more. And I want you to hide, where? At the Evan Ha'azel. The Evan Ha'azel is a sign, like a road sign. It's a rock, they put a rock, and they put signs this way to this city, that way to this city. So hide near the Evan Ha'azel, and that's a place where I'll be able to find you very easily, because we've already decided that's where you're at. And this will give us direction as to where your life should be going. Other expressions of Biyoma Maisa, that Radak brings from the Targum, Biyoma Decholah, like a regular mundane weekday, a day when you do work. Because right now, it's coming up to Rosh Chodesh. And it appears that the Minog, Radak even says, Minog was not to work. Holy people did not work on Rosh Chodesh, as we see women today. In other words, in those days, they didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. Nowadays, only women, to a certain extent, don't work on Rosh Chodesh. You could say, because maybe it's the Korban that was brought. There was a Korban that was brought. It was a Shlomim, and You went to the Shiloh, wherever you went to, not Shiloh, wherever the Aron was, Beis HaMikdash. So it appears that, you know, it was, so then we'll come back to the day of Maisa, the day of Maisa. Today's the day of Maisa. Today's the day of action. And I'll come back to you, you know, where you've been for this day of action. But when it's days of Yontif, I'm not going to come back to you. So that's what he's got to do. And Pasuk Chav, well, okay, he's going to say what the signs are, and we'll continue at Pasuk Chav tomorrow.